The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Oh, I'm a failure because I haven't got a brain.
Well, what would you do with a brain if you had one?
Do? Why, if I had a brain,
I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain. I'd unravel every riddle for any individual in trouble or in pain.
With the thoughts you'd be thinking, you could be another Lincoln if you only had a brain.
Oh, I could tell you why the ocean's near the shore. I could think of things I never thought before, and then I'd sit and think some more. I would not be just a nothing, my head all full of stuffing, my heart all full of pain. I would dance and be merry, life would be a ding-a-dairy if I only had a brain.
That's dedicated to the failed recall people, especially Jeff. And I'd like to pray for them right now. Dear Lord, please, could you find a couple extra brain cells for the recall people? But before you deliver them, please plug that hole in their head, would you? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. How are you?
I'm damn good. And I mean with a capital D, I got it popping again.
You know what's funny is that McClung, who won the NBA dunk contest, he's only 6 foot tall. He's not actually even in the league. And he's white.
Yeah, about like Larry Bird.
I'm telling you. This little dude is out there just dunking over guys that are 6'8", 6'9", and he's just, it's crazy. So congratulations, Mr. McClung.
Bird was insulted when they put a white guy on to guard him. It's true, but listen, I've got an obituary I've got to go through. It's really sad. Shasta Unhinged, oh no, Shasta Unmasked its show is over.
Oh.
It ran out of money. What did Margaret Thatcher say about communism and money?
It works until you run out of other people's money.
That's what happened. The same thing happened to Christian Gardner's show.
Oh.
Common Grounds.
Dang.
People didn't, evidently didn't turn in and want to donate to their show. This last one, those heavy girls, I used to listen to it about 2 a.m. just to laugh at them. What?
Your description is classic. For the radio, I got an idea of what you just said.
Oh, good.
You know, it's like you have a face for radio, Nick. It's beautiful.
Well, the thing is, I think that they read a book counting calories, and they thought the person that consumed the most calories won.
Well
that's all I could figure.
I'm just saying. Hey, before we get going, Nick, we're supposed to do this for Papa. Welcome to Poke the Hornet's Nest. I'm going to thank the sponsor, Nick Gardner. You'll find us on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and KCNR1460.com. There, we have satisfied Dad for the next 49 minutes. We can move forward.
Daddy, and I want to thank our other sponsor, Doug Jenke.
What a great guy.
Oh, yes. Well, I've got this other thing that's kind of funny, and I want you guys' opinion on it. And don't laugh at me, but I read Dear Abby every day. And I'm going to read this letter.
Didn't you date her once?
You know, she wasn't bad looking 150 years ago.
Neither were you.
Dear Abby, I need to live with someone because I'm on the verge of being homeless. I have been in homeless shelters. I have also lived alone, but I can't do that again because it causes my anxiety and depression to act up. I just started talking to this guy. We are starting to like each other, but I haven't met him in person, and I'm wondering if you think I could move in with this guy after a month. What's your opinion, Doug?
Wow.
Monique, you've got an opinion on this? How about you, Eric?
I mean, if the alternative is homelessness, I would need to know a little bit more, but a month seems a bit risky to me.
Well, I'm thinking that the first thing they should get out of the way is if they're sexually compatible. So they probably ought to go Dutch on a motel room between the two locations and check that out first, because if they're not sexually compatible, what's the sense in pursuing a long-term relationship?
There's Nick. Welcome to Sunday morning.
I don't know if I would go Dutch on the hotel room. I would expect my date to pay.
There you go.
But who's the date?
Well, there you go. Yeah, I mean, she's talking her way into a house. So, yeah, who is the date?
Well, we've got Monique and Eric in, and they want to talk to us about, I don't really know what it is. It's something to do with the union, and they both work at. Go ahead, Eric. Have at her.
Well, hey, what's up, everybody? Thank you guys for having me on the show. I appreciate the time, and thank you to Monique for inviting me and putting me in touch with you guys. My name's Eric. I'm a rank-and-file UFCW member here in Redding, California. I work for Safeway Albertsons Company here in town. Our union covers most of the grocery stores here.
UFC, is that a spinoff of the WWF?
No. I wish we were more like the UFC, but it's the UFCW, so United Food and Commercial Workers. Unfortunately, no trained combatants to help us in the fight. That would help a little bit against what the corporations are trying to do to us as workers, but nope, it's just us, just working people. You know, we have been moving towards a contract that we've got coming up here in April. Part of building solidarity towards that fight has been reconnecting with our brothers and sisters in the union and kind of getting a gauge for where we feel our living standards have gone, especially in the grocery industry over the last, say, 30 to 50 years, relative to what they used to be, relative to a lot of the grocery workers that inspired me to pursue a career in this business and their parents before them who actively worked in that industry, actively worked in that business, and were able to provide a middle-class lifestyle for their families, and that dream has kind of been pushed away for us over time. So as union members, we have an opportunity to get together and collectively use our power as working people to try to move in a direction that we feel represents the needs of us as a body, a collective bargaining unit, versus the corporations that are very actively trying to suppress that. And one thing that I've noticed in the things that you guys are doing here in Poke the Hornet's Nest and in Shasta County more broadly is that community solidarity. And what the impact of that can be when you guys do make those connections and really move as a single body, what you're able to impact and what you're able to get in terms of return from that investment has been something that's inspiring to people in the labor movement as well.
What are the issues? I mean, is it just pay? Is it benefits? Because my dad worked for almost 30 years in the retail and ended up with Safeway the last 5 years when he got permanently disabled, they call it, and they put him on early retirement. But back in the day, Safeway was one of the best paying gigs in the retail sector because my dad was an assistant manager back in the day, and we're going to crime it loud 30 years ago. But he was making like 60 grand a year as an assistant manager, and back then that was actually pretty decent pay. So what's going on today that our folks want to hear about?
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of people in our community. You know, we've had grocery stores here in Shasta County for as long as Shasta County has existed. I mean, a grocery store is an essential business.
The indigenous people had a grocery store?
You know, I believe that they were trading groceries with each other a little more fluidly than the retail setup that we have now. But yes, everybody's been eating since the history of time, and how we've been collectively providing that food to each other has changed over time. But currently, we're in this environment where large corporations control our access to food.
So what's happening is the shoplifters have gone back to when the Indians were raiding each other and stealing their women and their food.
So we're back. We made full circle.
Yeah, and you know what? I do believe there's probably some historical context there, but things like fences and walls were built up to help prevent people from coming in and stealing food supplies from communities in the same way that we try to use fences and walls to protect our food now. So yes, people have been stealing food for all time, and they're still stealing food, and that does impact prices. What I would like to offer as a suggestion to people listening is that we work just as hard trying to solve that problem as we do trying to hold corporations accountable for extracting wealth from the work and labor that the people provide and funneling it up to the top to CEOs and people at the top that aren't providing the same economic value that is being provided by the working people down on the floor. And that's, I'm speaking in the grocery industry specifically because that's the industry I work in. But if we expand that out to electricians, plumbers, painters, pipe fitters, builders, you know, workers all across the working landscape, I think everybody could kind of see, and I can speak to it directly in my own living experience, but in talking to Teamsters and other union members and people working across the country, that access to that lifestyle that your parents had and our parents' parents had has been getting pushed further and further away from us and harder to achieve with the deal that used to be that if you're a 40-hour worker in this country and you're working for a company, that should offer you an access to a lifestyle that at least offers some dignity and some value in the in return. And there's billions and billions of dollars being taken and being spread out amongst not only CEOs' pay salaries and bonuses, but also shareholders. And if you want to have an argument about whether the working people get a share in the company and they are able to share in the profits of the work that they provide, you know, that's one way to do it. Increasing wages is another way to do it. However we decide to do it, what I'm interested in is hearing what people, the working people, think is the best solution and trying to move in that direction as a group.
Well, one thing that I see that affects the working man's lifestyle is the overwhelming taxes and fees and penalties. Yeah. Besides the fact that the corporations, all they're interested in is showing a profit for their shareholders.
Yes.
But one thing I would like to ask you is I recall that there's policies, not just Safeway, but other markets and other businesses, that you can't confront a shoplifter. And I just wondered how the workers felt about that. I understand the corporations don't chase them because that opens us up to liability. You might fall down and break your leg and sue us. You might hurt them and sue us, just whatever. But how did the workers feel about that?
Good morning, guys. Thank you for having us on. So, Saturdays, I'm in the park, and a couple times I've recognized a couple people, and I've told them, you know, this isn't the best part of your character. Don't do this. And I've had the opportunity to have a conversation.
You recognized them as shoplifters?
Yeah. I watch them because I know who they are, and I want to go say hi, and then I see what they're doing. So a couple times I've, you know, just walked right behind them and told them, this is not the best part of your character. Don't do this. It's inappropriate. It doesn't help the whole of the thing. And, you know, one guy put his stuff down, walked out, and haven't seen him since. But, yeah, it's a really unfortunate.
Oh, you confronted him when you saw him in the store.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought you put
the
burrito
at
the homeless camp. No. But I recognize it because what I did on Saturday. So I tell him, this is not cool, you know, and this is innately not who you are. Stop. Don't do that. I know who you are.
You shamed him into quitting that
activity.
Kind of,
and then he put the stuff down and walked out, and I haven't seen him since. So it was just a matter of that was the only thing I could say or do at that moment.
He thought to himself, I'm going to a different store from now on.
I think that might be the case.
I will say there is actually, for anybody that's listening that has struggled with getting mm-hmm. access to food and felt that they were being pushed into a direction where stealing was the only option, we do have programs in our stores.
Yes.
Safeway very specifically participates in a program called Fresh Rescue. I'm the receiver for my store, so I work the back room and handle all the incoming and outgoing inventory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We are under policy not allowed to throw away any edible food. So when food is non-sellable, meaning like a customer is not going to buy the banana because it's not visually appealing, but the banana is still good, that's picked up every day by the Good News Rescue Mission and distributed to food banks throughout the community, including the Senior Nutrition Center.
Yep.
Now, that has expanded within the last year to not just include food that we think people would want, but anything that's edible. So every day we are sending out steaks from the meat department that didn't sell. We're sending out bacon. There is food accessible to the community out there. Please find the resources that are available for you to access that food so that it does not go to waste, because these companies, they push food out and then they pull food off the shelves before it's bad, right? Mm-hmm. Because you as the customer want your Twinkie to be the softest and creamiest Twinkie on the shelf, and if it's not, you're not going to buy Twinkies anymore, right? Those Twinkies are still edible, and they are getting out to the community in ways that don't require you to come into the store and steal them off the shelf. Please find access to those resources, because that will help. That will help prices for the consumer. But I am not willing to say that the price that the consumer has to pay is the fault of the hungry person entirely, when so much is being taken away and spread out on the top. I am willing to say that there needs to be a healthy balance between the two.
Yeah.
I don't know that, and quite honestly, like, to the question of confronting shoplifters, when your parents' parents were working in that industry, they would wait out in the parking lot and they would beat those people up. There was vigilante.
Well, it was easy because they were hungry.
They knew they were weak.
And there's only like one of them, not 100.
Yeah. And there's also wasn't all the legal layers that have built up on top of that now you're personally liable as an individual for injuring someone else, or the company is now liable because you injured somebody. So the policy, the zero tolerance policies, like Safeway will tell us, it's to protect our safety. It's to protect their pockets against litigation.
Oh, sure.
They don't care about our safety. I'm a stepladder to Safeway. I'm not a human being. I'm a stepladder, and as soon as I don't open and work as efficiently as I used to, I'll be replaced by another stepladder. whether we decide to remain pieces of equipment as human beings for these corporations is our decision. And the option that we have to not be a stepladder is to stop working. So that's the direction that we need to start thinking as a working people, because there's a huge imbalance that's currently occurring. I don't want to take every yacht away from every billionaire. I just think that there's a better balance. When there's people that are starving and fighting each other over a loaf of bread, two human beings, one working human being and one starving human being having a physical confrontation in a parking lot of a multi-billion dollar corporation, something's off. I don't know what, I'm just one person. I don't have the solution, but I think a lot of people coming together and starting to talk about these things will move us towards a solution that benefits the most people and hurts the least people. And I think that's an okay thing to talk about. And again, in seeing what you guys have been able to pull off in community building and organizing, that's an inspiration to the labor movement, because working people need that same type of leverage. They need that same type of voice, and they need the same type of ability to impact positive change in their lives, like people involved in Shasta County local government have been able to see in their own lives. That can be a lesson for people all across the country, regardless of any of the politics or any of the other things that come into play. I do really try to keep myself clear of those things, because I feel like they also contribute to division. Mm-hmm. And right now we are in a situation where the more we can do to find what we have in common, the better we will do as a body of people, a nation of people in this country that ultimately want what's best for ourselves and our families.
You know what I have found is I have zero in common with anybody that voted for Kamala Harris. Zero. Let me ask you about the food that you give to the organizations around town. What if somebody's not welcome to one of those organizations and they come in and said, I'm hungry?
So there's different organizations, for example, like the Good News Rescue Mission. There's people that feel that they can't access the services that are available because they don't affiliate religiously with the organization providing the food or politically with the organization that's providing the food. There are, like, the Senior Nutrition Center by Simpson College. They have a philosophy that is, you don't have to pay and you don't have to pray. The food's available if you need the food. They serve a hot meal every single day. So if you don't agree with the ideology of the place that's providing food, then don't go there. But I would also ask, you know, a starving person, where does the boundary lie, and are you standing on your values and principles so firmly that you're willing to steal instead of be involved in a community that you may not perfectly align with?
I want this guy to run for governor.
Well, he's a talker. You know,
he's loquacious.
I think hunger is just like pain. There's mm-hmm. nothing you won't do to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And I remember watching, I think it was Somalia, they had these garage doors down, and there was food in there, and the people were starving, and there's a guy there with an AK-47, and this gal's trying to break in right in front of him. You know, there's nothing you won't do to feed yourself.
I think there's a certain...
And your kids,
I was
going to
say your kids.
Oh,
I would feed my kids
and
before I feed
that
myself.
That speaks to, like, something that's in us that's cellular. That's something that's
innate.
In us that's deeper than, you know, it's
so
it's
do you think us as a society, as government, are doing all we can to feed those people?
No, I don't, and I don't,
no,
and actually, quite honestly,
not.
I personally believe that the only division that exists in our country is the people who sign the checks and the people who take the checks.
And the Harris voters.
That is the only dividing line, and to your point, any other division that we find is actually by design, and it's actually designed to break us up into smaller and smaller groups. Now, that being said, I will say that I have seen some extremely powerful things come out of small group organizing, and so I am instead of trying to form a giant massive body, I think there's benefit to smaller organizations that are formed around special interests, finding the common ground between other smaller organizations, like wanting to solve hunger. If you took that as a guiding principle and you used that as the only thing that linked you to other organizations with the same goal, what you would show people is that we do have actually a lot of things in common. We don't like seeing people starve and suffer. We don't like seeing people fighting against a machine that they were told was fair and actually is not, and then losing that battle. We have, and when we're talking about that, we're talking about our neighbors, the people that we look at and see.
You know, a lot of times people criticize union workers as being lazy, just taking the check. Union leadership being a huge bureaucracy, which I personally have a problem with. Our union, our local UFCW Local 8, suffers from that. We're a very top-down business local. So,
well, I mean, that's one of speaking from the outside, who was once on the inside with my dad. You know, that's that as a non-union, because realtors are non-union, of course. Is that's the thing that we see from the outside is the and basically the mafia style, you know, you guys, whether or not you want to donate to the union, whether or not, and yeah, and the old joke is, you know, you have a union job, you have a private sector job, everybody just fixes the problem. You have a union job, the electrician's walking by, there's a shovel on the ground that's a trip hazard. He picks it up and he gets his ass chewed because there's an actual guy who's being paid to be a shovel picker. Yeah. And so that's the perception that we have out in non-union world. Absolutely. And so, especially now when you see, you know, what's going on with the teachers' unions and this and that. And so you made a comment earlier that I think when we get after the break, you mentioned stopping work. I mean, so that's something I want to hit on in a couple minutes after we come back from break.
Let me hit on about the shovels.
Yes, please. Because that's the thing. I mean, that, and I actually have a client who is in the union membership. I won't mention who, where, when, and why, but he's here locally. And he said that that's pretty much true, is if you're on a union job, and the, you know, and there's a spill in aisle five, you know, the clerk is not allowed to do it. They have to go call the guy who's actually the mop pushing guy. But and that just doesn't make sense.
Caltrans is having a big layoff because the Japanese have invented a shovel that'll stand up by itself.
So anyway, back to the union. So that's the perception that we have out here is, so, you know, and you're saying that that's kind of, there's some truth to some of that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, so there, when it comes to job classification specifically, when you're talking about unions having gone through collective bargaining that have job classifications, and within those job classifications are activities protected within that classification, the reason that that exists is so that people that make less money aren't exploited into doing those upper class tasks, whatever they may be. You can argue and you can negotiate and you can bargain into and out of those types of things. My personal belief is it's up to the membership. I'll use the longshoremen as an example. They just recently went on strike on the East Coast. Not recently, but they were going through bargaining and threatening to strike and ended up getting their collective bargaining agreement and not going on strike.
But those guys, I mean, I know that person because I worked in the harbor in Europe for 4 years. Those guys are paid almost double what anybody else in the world is paid. So they make a lot of money in our ports, way more than anywhere else in the world.
They're making huge money. And
it's not a difficult job, I'll be honest with you. I worked in it 4 years, got to watch them. It's not a very difficult job. They shouldn't be making double the rest of the world is.
then let's have that argument. They are making double. They bargained for it. They got it. The profits are coming from multinational corporations that send in shipping containers from outside of our country. Those profits are being extracted from those people and sent to those other countries. Well, if you want to negotiate or figure out a better system, by all means, go ahead. In my opinion, it goes to the workers who are making it happen on the docks. That's my personal opinion. We can get together as a body and have a conversation and discuss that.
Yeah.
What I want the outcome to be is the outcome of the majority and what they decide they think is best. It might not be what I think. It might not be what I believe. I'm just one person.
Well, now in union, though, isn't it happen a lot where the pressure, I mean, you know, like teacher unions are 98% liberal voting Democrats. That's an unbelievable statistic. Is that something that, you know, comes from the top down, that you guys are going to go for this contract, or, you know, there's a lot of pressure that's pushed on you guys that you have to walk in step, or so else you're a union breaker kind of thing.
So there is a ton of union bureaucracy that's built on top of unions, and I'm directly opposed to that.
Yeah.
I do not like that model. I like an organizing model. So basically what's happened to our unions, UFCW is a great example of that. You mentioned mafia tendencies.
Yeah.
That's not an exaggeration. For anybody that's familiar with union history, the mafia was very tightly tied into union and labor organizing throughout its history. In fact, the Teamsters were under mafia rule from the Hoffas for a long time.
Yep.
They just recently broke that chain. They've flipped to what is called an organizing model. They brought a leader up named Sean O'Brien, who you may have seen speaking at the RNC. He has taken his union, the Teamsters, and he's flipped it on its head. It's now a member-driven democratic model, and through that and through his leadership, they have secured things like a national contract with UPS. So instead of like what we're going through right now, we're here in Local 8, which runs from Bakersfield to Oregon border. We're negotiating
negotiating with Safeway and Albertsons for our contract. Albertsons is one of the largest corporations. It's the third or fourth largest grocery corporation in the United States.
Continue on. We're just going to check with
no,
the tech
good,
guy.
No, you're good. We bargain local by local by local. What could we secure in gains if we bargained on a national contract against Albertsons? It would be more than what we can bargain now.
Yeah.
The Teamsters showed us that. They bargained against UPS. Now topped out Teamster drivers make $50 an hour. If you want to argue about whether that's fair for them or fair for you, what's probably happening is you're thinking about how much money you make, mm-hmm. and you're judging yourself against a UPS driver, and you're trying to decide if they are a bigger contributor to society or less of a contributor to society than you. I say all of that is irrelevant. We're all getting taken advantage of by the corporations we work for, and shout out to the UPS drivers and the Teamsters that organized their big contract. You've inspired us to go do the same for our locals and our unions. I want a national contract against Albertsons that bargains all 130,000 people that are going to be bargaining this year.
Let's hold that thought. I think we have to go to break, Dave, and then we'll be back in a couple minutes.
Sure.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Goldleaf Nursery is celebrating 50 years in business. Yep, 50 years. Seems like yesterday our nursery and landscape business was just a little seedling itself, but the truth is, we've been serving Shasta County for 50 years, growing shrubs, trees, and veggie plants since 1975. Also, as a licensed contractor, we've landscaped shopping centers, city parks, and custom residential homes. The sale will start now and continue through springtime. All 1 gallon and larger shrubs and trees are on sale. With spring right around the corner, we have a good selection of spring shade bloomers, such as azaleas and camellias, and many other sun blooming plants to enhance your landscape in those sunny locations in the yard. This is the perfect time of the year to start preparing your vegetable garden. We have organic soils and fertilizers, including a full line of John and Bob's Organics, and we carry non-GMO seeds. So rest assured, you can have a healthy planting crop in your vegetable garden. If you have not been to Goldleaf Nursery, we invite you to check us out and see for yourself why we have so many customers tell us what a unique nursery we have. Goldleaf Nursery, 6186 Churn Creek Road, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course and 1/4 mile from Airport Road.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Why, if I had a brain, I could...
Okay, hold it. Stop. Oh, we're not even going to get there, so we're just going to take off. Now, I mentioned about the government being in the working man's pocket, and I want to mention what happened to me. I've got a 2011 Honda Accord. It's only got 55,000 miles on it, and I get my registration renewal notice. So I go down, and I get it smogged, and I set it on the counter, and I forget to pay it. So they send me about 4 months later, that says they need $234 instead of the $136. So I'm going, well, what's this for? And I look around. Oh, sure enough, I didn't pay it. And it says I have to get it smogged. So I go up to the smog place, and I said, and this just happened 2 weeks ago. I said, didn't I just get this done? She said, yeah. I said, well, why don't you just send them a deal that's already smogged? She says, well, it's over 90 days. You got to get it smogged again. Now, you know what? If it's only good for 90 days, why doesn't everybody have to get it done every 90 days instead of every 2 years?
Yeah.
They got into me for $126. I could have used that for other things. It was unnecessary. Yeah. Their fee of being $72 on a $162 bill, well, that's loan sharking, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, you and I couldn't do that because that's called usury, but the government can do it, and it's called a penalty.
That's right. And they got the money I would have spent in the local economy.
And then if you want to contest it, you got to pay for your lawyer and their lawyer, so they've got you coming and going on that one.
Now, Eric was just talking about the bargaining power of going of a national bargaining unit instead of a local. But, you know, when it comes to government employees in California, we have a statewide bargaining deal going on. And in Redding, where there's only, 100,000 people, we're paying our city manager, costing us over $400,000 a year. Now, that might be appropriate in the Bay Area or in Los Angeles, but it's not appropriate up here where housing's cheaper and you don't have the bills. So when you do a national bargaining unit for the groceries union, the needs of people in San Diego and Los Angeles and New York are different from the small rural counties. So how do you address that?
Built into the bargaining agreement, you have cost of living adjustments. So you have a base pay, and the base pay applies to all the working people in the contract, and then you can have jurisdiction by jurisdiction COLA adjustments would adjust their pay based on the cost of living in that area. I just came from Colorado. I was on strike with King Soopers, Kroger-owned stores, for the last week. UFCW 7 members, not my local, but a bunch of us flew out there from other locals to stand on the line with them and start sending this message that we're interested in existing as one body. And the cost of living there was – I couldn't believe how cheap things were in Colorado. Now, I brought my California money to Colorado, so it felt a certain way. If I were existing in Colorado, I would feel as poor as I do here. But it was nice feeling
wealthy,
kind of wealthy for a while. In fact, it was really interesting. You know, you just mentioned the pay difference there. You had a $234 registration payment. I'm a topped-out Safeway employee, so I make the most money in my store as an hourly employee. It's $29 an hour and some change. That would have been 25% of a weekly paycheck for me. Mm-hmm. So if I were to get hit with that bill, that's a quarter of the labor I provided to that company for 1 week.
The government took
government took. And I don't care where it goes when it comes out of my wallet.
Sure.
The problem is I can't afford it.
Well, you know, the thing is actually when you just mentioned what you make an hour, I actually in my head had it as a substantially higher number. And the reason being is that was always the thing. If you went to work at Albertsons or Raley's or whatever, you got this extra pay. But nowadays you're a dumb burger flipper and you get $20 an hour. So, you know, it's not, I mean, it's, that spread actually is a little bit closer than I thought it was, because being union, I thought you guys were in the 35 or 40 hours to bag groceries, air quote. But when you realize that California enacted its minimum wage laws for fast food people only, which is amazing, 20 for a beginning kid out of high school and 29 for a guy who's worked for decades at Safeway, that's not a big difference, to be honest with you.
No, it's not. And for what I do personally, and again, I don't like to get into like, here's what I provide for my company versus what this other human being provides for their company, and here's why I deserve more.
Sure.
But I control $1.8 million of standing inventory that moves in and out every day to the tune of $60,000. That's my responsibility. That's a big responsibility. There's 280 of me in California covering the Northern California division for just Safeway. We can't afford to live.
Yeah. That's the flip side is things have gotten so expensive, and I can't blame Joe alone. I mean, a lot of this got going under Trump, and I think it's going to go up now. So, you know, you're right. That used to be a crazy, ridiculous pay. Now it's almost, I mean, it barely matches minimum wage in California.
Mo, you're up.
So in 1992, I'd moved to the Bay Area, and I was working for DeHoff Enterprises, Key Markets in San Mateo. And they were under a sweetheart contract because Safeway had done all the bargaining for UFCW. And 1994, I was probably 19, 20 years old, and I was making $26 an hour when the state pay at that time was like $7.60 an hour. The minimum wage. And that money that I made back then had put me through medic school. And then I spent almost 20 years in EMS. And now I've gone back to Safeway. I work at Safeway. And to admit, I'm the low rung of that ladder, and I make $16.80 an hour. And okay. I've got to put food on my table to feed my kids, where I totally appreciate what I made before, because it set up my future profession, my career, everything. But the point is, it's a very sad state of affairs when I have to worry about eggs being $12.99 for 18 eggs.
Well, I appreciate you guys being honest about the hourly wage, because that's the thing, is when you hear, oh, we're going to go on strike, and we think union, I mean, because, you know, Nick and I tend to try and stay a little bit on the political realm, and one of the things that just drives me absolutely bat crap crazy is when I hear that we're going to pay prevailing wage.
Yes.
And that's just a load of crap. You know, prevailing wage in Modesto is not prevailing wage in Redding, California, but I digress. So you guys actually being transparent, I hate that word in today's world, but transparent enough to say this is what we're making.
Honest.
That does give in a perspective of kind of like, oh crap, so you're there making less than some kid who's 16 who just joined McDonald's.
And I'm 50, in my 50s.
Okay. All right. So that helps me understand it a little bit better. Thank you.
To that point, it's these conversations. It's people coming together, speaking honestly about what's going on in their lives. Mm-hmm. Especially, I mean, we live in an attention economy driven world now where the money is less valuable than eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
Look at me, look at what I'm doing, see what I have going on. And not only that, it's used as a distraction. So look at this instead of this, right? That all that does is it puts walls up in between us where we don't sit down and have conversations where we do find common understanding and common ground. The idea of a grocery store being a career job, that when I was in high school in Anderson, the only people who worked at Safeway that were in my peer group in high school were the people whose parents worked at Safeway. You had to know somebody to get into that job because it was such a good job. Mm-hmm. When I went through my life and circled back and landed at Safeway, I was like, awesome, finally, I got in. This is going to be great. And every year that I've worked there, it's gotten worse and worse. And by worse and worse, I mean relative to the cost of living, relative to being able to achieve the quote-unquote American dream. You know, I think that if you ask almost any person in this country what they thought the American dream was, they would say the same thing, regardless of their political ideals. They want a house. They want access to health care and education. They want a vacation. They want to be able to retire at the end of their career. That's just common human living.
Well, one of the things that, I mean, I'm a realtor, so I gotta be very careful how I phrase this. I have certain opinions on what's coming our direction, all right? Economically, nothing Mr. Trump does is going to change the coming storm, and it's big. And housing's one of those components. Is, you know, it went up 40% in 2 years in COVID, 40 freaking percent, and so. Oddly enough, agents got a 40% pay raise because just the price. But the average schmuck, i.e. the hourly worker,
me,
they didn't get a 40% raise in 2 years. And so that really is where this split got crazy wide is in 20 to 23 is because the cost of having the dream went up 40+%, mm-hmm. but the average wage might have gone up 5%.
Let's go all the way back to 2008 when Barack Obama and his team decided to bail out every bank that offered predatory lending to human beings that couldn't afford to take those loans. He took taxpayer money out of our pockets and used that to pay off big, huge, mega bank corporations.
Too big to fail.
Deserved to fail.
Yep.
In a capitalist society, that is the consequence of you making a bad bet. You are supposed to be punished if you take a risk and that risk works against you. That is a foundation of the capitalist system. However, that is only applied to working people.
Yeah.
That is only applied to the people that don't sign the checks. If you're a check signer, you will get bailed out.
Yeah.
You can file for bankruptcy. You can start fresh. If you're a working person...
Trump has filed bankruptcy, I think, 8 times.
If you're a working person, get smoked. And you should have tried harder. You should have done better. You should have been a better human being.
Mm. Well, let me ask you a question. I said it before the break, and now we're within the last quarter of our show here. You had mentioned stopping work. Is this something that us as consumers and our listeners, is this something that's heading towards maybe a strike down the road that, you know, obviously could impact your ability to go? And I don't know what you can and cannot say, but you mentioned about stopping work. And so that's kind of stuck in my head because I remember the days. I mean, I actually took a job once when there was a strike at a warehouse when I was just out of college. And they were striking for places back in, like, Colorado, and these guys were actually making really good money in Fresno, and I was like, why are you guys striking? Well, we're in unit slot. Okay, whatever. So, didn't last that long for those guys, but are you suggesting that we maybe, as in Bakersfield North, looking at kind of a industry-wide stoppage of work at some point?
So I'll say two things. The part of the bureaucratic union that I'm a part of does not provide any visibility to rank and file members into negotiations.
Okay.
That's part of my problem. How am I to even know that you're negotiating in my best interest when you're doing it behind closed doors with the corporation that I already don't trust?
You sound like city government.
That's a problem. I need to be in the room so that I can make sure that my interest – you're representing me, so I need to know that you're representing me. So that's a problem. We don't get any information from our local regarding negotiations, but we do – are able to go to other locals that are open and transparent. I know you said that was a bad word, but when you're trying to get information, transparency is very important, that are having those meetings publicly and are discussing. And if anybody from Safeway Corporate's listening, shame on you. Our contract expires April 12th, and they have not come to the bargaining table. In fact, they offered a bargaining date in April. That is not enough time to negotiate our contract. And so now the only thing that I know is that we have bargaining dates in March. What that means is that we'll probably go through an extension, just speaking through prior experience.
Mm-hmm.
People will know well before a strike, because you'll see that unfair labor practice charges are being filed against the company for not bargaining in good faith. You'll see strike authorization votes happening in the store. Whether or not those strike authorization votes pass is the determining factor on whether or not the union can call an unfair labor practice strike. That strike is different than an economic strike, because it's like a tit for tat. Like, you didn't do this thing that you're legally required to do in bargaining. As a result, we're going to go on a 3-day strike. At the end of the 3 days, we come back to work, and hopefully we can work together as a committee again.
Now I'm going to jump in here real quick, because I know that in the private non-union thing, if you take a strike and you're out a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you don't get any of that pay back. But if you're in a union and you strike, is there a retroactive pay? Is there compensation for the time missed? I mean, I know outside of unions, the answer is no. In unions, is how does that work a little bit?
It's based on the bylaws of your constitution and your union. So unions are like little micro countries. They have constitutions and bylaws that govern their existence, which is why for people that are interested in democracy and actually leveraging democracy to their advantage, a union's a great place to do it. It's a smaller scale than the country, so you can make stuff happen within your union. In our local, in our union, the UFCW, I disagree with the way that we operate our strike fund. It's controlled by the international body, and the locals have to submit to the international a request for access to strike fund. We don't get strike pay for 8 days. We tried as a union to get that reduced to first day strike pay. We sent members to the international convention in Las Vegas, and what we wanted to do was get first day strike pay. Teamsters have first day strike pay. When they go on strike, they make $1,000 a week. That eliminates the financial risk from the employee in going on strike. You don't have to worry about losing your house to stand up against your corporation as a body. The UFCW had a 14-day limit. They voted no on first-day strike pay, which is very eye-opening for union members. Union members listening right now in UFCW Local 8, your local, voted no on first-day strike pay, but they were able to get it reduced to 8 days. So now we only have to wait 8 days before we can get our strike pay. What some locals have done, locals that have gone through revitalization and returned power back to their membership, is they have held a vote with their membership asking them if they would like to raise their dues with the specific purpose of setting up an independent strike fund. In Colorado, they did that. Those members, 2 or 3 years ago, set up an independent strike fund. They've been paying $2 or $3 extra a week out of their union dues. And because of that, they're all getting checks from their local union, not the international body, for being on strike currently.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
Do you ever see any strikes where the demands from the labor is outrageous, ridiculous?
It depends. I personally have the strike that I went to in Colorado is the first strike that I've actively participated in. For full context and full disclosure, I was a Safeway manager for 13 years before I stepped down to rank and file. I rose to the position of store director, so I was the top paid employee in the store and still could not afford to live. And that was a very eye-opening experience for me. So I stepped down to rank and file. I've only been involved in the labor movement for about a year and a half. And by labor movement, I mean getting actively involved and trying to be a participating member in my union. And that's been a very eye-opening experience for me. And it's kind of led to a lot of the revelations that what we have going on here in Local 8.
Now, is the management in the union, the ones that are voting no, this, that, and the other, are they local people? Or are they like from Sacramento and you guys are kind of dealing with people out of your area?
So we have a very large geographical local. So our headquarters is in Roseville and in downtown Sacramento. And it spreads, like I said, from Bakersfield all the way to the Oregon border. Different unions have different setups. The Teamsters have a local office in here. Shout out to Teamsters 137. Russ, the business agent for the Teamsters here in town. And they hold monthly meetings here in town. That's
Awesome. My union holds quarterly meetings, so four times a year there's a meeting. It's in downtown Sacramento on a Thursday night at 8 o'clock.
I want to go.
Five of us went to the last membership meeting, and if anybody here at the table wants to guess how many members were there, don't guess. There was five. We were the only members that showed up to our membership meeting. When we were there, we asked if there was anything that they could do to make it more accessible to the membership, like put it on Zoom, and they shot us down.
So they don't want you knowing what's going on.
So that's, you know, you're right. And why? Why not? There's something very wrong when the union that's representing you doesn't want you to know what's going on.
Let me tell you a little story about the Cascade Theater. When it was getting rebuilt, I don't know, 20 years ago, 25
something
years
like that,
ago,
yeah,
the economy was booming.
Yeah.
And I think it was Gifford Construction that was doing some work down there, and they were picketed by the union, whatever union it is. Mm-hmm. So Valerie Engmiller, who was head cheese for Jefferson National Radio then, walked over and asked this guy, she says, what are you guys picketing for? And he says, well, I don't know. They hired us for minimum wage because they couldn't get any union members. They're all working. That's the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. So what, I mean, we're down to about 8 minutes, so we want to make sure we get, what is it you want to get out to our people that, you know, if we can help, if we can support, if whatever, what is it that your time on our show is going to be used for today? What would you like to get from our people, from us?
I think with 10 minutes left, I think the first thing I want to say is thank you very much for even offering a platform to speak on. It's hard to connect and to communicate with people. So getting onto a platform that I know reaches a lot of working people is extremely important. It helps us break down those barriers that keep us from communicating. It's hard to continue to circle around in stores and have one-on-one conversations. So the idea that this message might be heard and received by people that it's impacting directly feels very good to me. So thank you for that. I really do appreciate that opportunity.
Amen.
For working people that are listening, know that you are not struggling alone. We're not struggling alone here in California. We're not struggling alone in Colorado. Grocery stores alone aren't struggling. The Teamsters aren't struggling by themselves. We are all struggling together. Something is changing in the way that this world operates, and I don't know that we are being included in that conversation in a way that provides leverage for us.
The pyramid has turned upside down. It used to be you had a strong base and you worked way up, and you know, management was supported by the lower, you know, the people who actually made the work. Nowadays, everything is these massive salaries that mm-hmm. the management is getting, and it's all on the shoulder of one worker.
For sure.
And that is something that, unfortunately, will take the system crashing. Mm-hmm. Because when you have these guys making, you know, $15, $20 million handshakes to leave a company, you know, you're so bad, we're going to get rid of you, and we're going to give you a $20 million handshake. That is something that is, you know, but it's on the people that are at the teller level making $8 or $10 or whatever it is. And so that's a structural issue that the system has to crash to get it back to where there's a pyramid, like, you know, the base is strong.
Foundation.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, what I'd say is I want to flip the pyramid. You said it's upside down. I actually want it to be upside down, where the membership is the top. And everything that's happening to down below is in service of the people that are actually making it happen. Businesses that operate that way do very well. The Costco is actually booming right now. And they have a reputation of taking very, very good care of their employees. They just went through a situation where the Teamsters were pressuring a strike. And the day that the Teamsters were going to go on strike, Costco came out and raised their pay, not just for the Teamsters. They raised it for everybody. And that is a message I would like people to hear, is that union workers raise everybody's wages. We're only 5.9% unionized in our country, lowest union density in almost the history of unionization in our country. And we're still out there raising wages for all working people. It's not just for us. It's not just for me. It's not just for grocery workers. It helps all working people because everybody has to raise wages in response to union wages going up, or else they wouldn't work there.
Well, and a side tangent is the immigration is not going to help you or anybody else, because they're coming in working for pennies compared to, you know.
That includes H-1B visas and high-skilled tech positions. You know, when we were in Colorado, we had a workshop, and we were side by side. We were in a big beer garden in Denver. It was awesome. But we were next to this, like, this big tech conference of guys that were making $200,000-$300,000 a year, and they were wandering over to our table asking what the pores were doing over on this side of the bar. And it was interesting, because you say, hey, you're making $300,000 a year, but you work for Google. you're still getting exploited by that corporation. The difference is that you're in a bar where you can look over at me and feel better about yourself. You're still getting hosed by the company you work for. We're all getting exploited. Some of us just have it better off than others, so it doesn't feel as bad. But when I hear a $200 bill and I know that's going to take me out of being able to pay rent or electricity or something, that's a difference. And I'm a hardworking person full time. That shouldn't be my existence. It shouldn't be the existence of anybody that's listening on this call. You know, 86% of the people that have government subsidies in terms of like SNAP or EBT benefits are working people. That's government waste, in my opinion. We're subsidizing corporations not paying wages to people with taxpayers paying for their food. That's not right.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's a vicious circle because the CEOs of the management in these big companies, they work only for the shareholder.
Yep.
But for the most part, who is the shareholder? The average schmuck who's buying stock in Safeway or Albertsons or whatever. So it's kind of their, you know, it's people who are buying $500 worth of Albertsons stock or $500, whatever. So you've got this diametrically opposed thing where the workers who actually make the money don't get to make the money. The chiefs are making way too much money, but they're doing it to try and help the average person make stocks for retirement. It's a convoluted
thing. Winco has an interesting model. They have ESOP models, so their employees are non-union, but they're profit sharing.
Yeah.
So they're earning shares in their company that as their company gains in profitability, they're gaining in wealth. A lot of Winco employees retire with $1 million.
Yeah.
So there's other ways to do it. There's ways that corporations can share with their employees. But it's a choice that the corporation has to make. And unfortunately, they normally get so big that the only choice to make is profit go up, costs go down.
Yeah.
And so a $0 labor cost would be ideal for them, unfortunately.
with robots, they're trying to get there.
Yeah.
Well, you need to pick your unions better. You should have joined the teachers union. You get paid too much for not doing nothing.
Working 6 months a year.
I was on the path to decertify the UFCW and kick them out of my store and try to go with the Teamsters when I got woken up to, why not just fix the union you're in? And so that's what I'm doing right now is just trying to fix the union I'm in. But you're right. There's some unions definitely get a lot more for their members than others.
Well, you know, you mentioned about negotiating in private, and that's one of the things that really drives me crazy is our tax dollars. We pay the tax dollars, and yet our county and our city, for sure, they do all their negotiation with the police and the fire and everything, and I make these you know, we have well-paid police, and I don't begrudge one penny they make because they have a hard job.
Yes.
But they commit to these huge, you know, pensions and all the works, and we never know, and all of a sudden it comes up for vote, and the vote is, yes, we support this new contract. Well, as citizens who pay the taxes, we don't even know what the heck it is we just voted for. And so I totally get when you say that, you know, it's happening in private behind closed doors, and that's when the shady stuff happens.
Yep.
So, well, we've got about 2 minutes. What would you like to do as a closing statement on your, you know, that us normal folk out in the world can kind of do or be, at least be aware of what's coming?
For anybody that's listening that wants to get connected, I have actually no problem. And if you want to debate anything that I've said over the course of the show, feel free to shoot me a phone call or a text at 530-638-5245. These conversations need to keep happening. I'm a learning person, so I'm willing to hear any counter argument to anything that I've said and help develop the way that I think and feel about this type of thing. But if you think I'm going to shake my foundation on wanting a better life for working people, that's not going to happen. Anybody that's working out there right now, just know that we're coming and we've got to have each other's backs and we can make a more fair world for all of us. And to anybody that's going to be, in the area and happen to see anybody striking or on picketing, it's really easy to support, striking workers by shopping anywhere else. If you see a picket line in front of a Safeway or a Food Max or a Save Mart, just go shop at another union store. There's more union stores in town. Show those companies that you want them to pay their workers. You want to shop at a place where you know the workers are treated fairly. And you can do that with your dollars and you can do that with your attention very easily. You can also drop off snacks and food, honk your horn when you drive by. There's a lot of things that you can do to show working people that you support them. If worst case scenario, and I say worst case because nobody wants a strike. When I was out in Colorado, people were yelling us to get real jobs and to get back to work, and it was negative 10 degrees. Do you think anybody wanted to be standing outside in negative 10 degrees fighting for a fair wage? No. They wanted to be inside the store doing the work they do every day, taking care of their customers, taking care of their community.
A humorous tip. They should pick it in the summer, just for future reference.
You know, and I agree, but man, but they shut down Super Bowl Sunday, and they shut down Valentine's Day. So shout out to King Super's workers for standing out there and shutting down Super Bowl weekend. That is a major, major holiday for grocery stores.
Huge.
Man.
So thank you. That's all I've got to say. Really, thank you.
I've got a comment about the Super Bowl. Kansas City picked a bad day to have a bad day, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Well, I think that the NFL now is going to look at that defense from the Eagles, and that's going to be Mahomes' new nemesis on every single game he's going to face because they had no answer to the
Eagles. I think that defensive line should have got MVP.
I wasn't able to watch. I was at work.
Ah, yeah.
No, but hey, I just want to say when I first met Eric, I thought I got the feeling that he was a very solution-oriented individual trying to – like he says, build that foundation so it's strong, so we can all elevate.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.